Hello and welcome to the Southbound Sports Show. I'm your host, Richie Leahy, here with my co-host, Matty B. And we got an action-packed show coming for you. Going to kick off with the NFL because they had a Halloween trade deadline. And the trade deadline actually saw a decent amount of movement because I wasn't expecting too much. The Niners are really going for it, though. They traded for Chase Young. It seems like you would think, well, the Niners are getting even more stacked. But looking at Chase Young's, like, his production based on his injuries and stuff, it's almost like, is it going to be worth it? I think he had 5 sacks this year, maybe.
Well, I think he's going to follow the Christian McCaffrey trend, where he was just injured because he was playing on a crappy Washington team. He was saving himself for that perfect opportunity. Now it's like, oh, I'm going to go straight for the, I'm paired up with my Ohio State best friend, and now we're going to go for it. He's going to be really healthy the rest of the year.
The Washington also traded Sweat, which I will say, Tony Romo called them the Redskins this week. He said, remember when the Redskins used to be really good? And I thought, what a shame on him. He can't say that word on TV. But I was thinking, at some point, like, that's what I call them that all the time. It just, like, I always mess up the Charlotte basketball team. But there has to be some age of fans at some point where they have no idea who the Redskins are. So when he says that, people are like, what the hell is he talking about? Is he drunk? Because, like, people won't remember that the Cleveland Indians were a thing because they've been the Guardians for so many years. Like, once those kids hit, like, 12 and they've only known them as the Guardians and they're in high school and stuff, I think that's going to be the changeover period where I'll be, like, the old guy talking about, remember the Redskins? Jay Gruden? Their owner? Like,
your kids will be like, oh, Dad, quit being racist.
I know, I'd be like,
no, they're the Redskins, and everyone dressed up with their Indian headdresses.
Yeah, no, they had the hogs. And they're like, oh, Dad, you can't say that either. They wore pig masks, man. Don't you remember that?
And dresses.
So it's like, yeah, what else? Yeah, because I'm like, it's going to be crazy at some point. Because there's a certain period where, like, commentators right now reminisce all the time. Like, is it Chirico, I hear, I think, on NBC? He's, like, always talking about going to games in, like, the 60s. I'm like, geez, how old are you, buddy? Like, I get you probably grew up because he's, like, from, like, the Detroit area or something. So he's always talking about going to all these games, like, Lions back in the day. And I'm like, come on, this is, like, bumming me out, like. I wasn't even close to being born when you were going to these football games. Or like when they bring up, like they were talking about, and the one thing that annoys me is like everyone kept saying that Joe Montana is the best quarterback of all time because he was at the 49er reunion. I think that's what they were talking about. And I'm like, you know, it's Tom Brady. Like, Tony Romo, who are you fooling bringing up Joe Montana? And then he tried to say, well, he's the best because he was 4-0 in Super Bowls. I'm like, yeah, he only went to 4 of them. Tom Brady went to so many. Like, of course he can't win them
all of them.
Yeah. You could say Ben Roethlisberger. Oh, no, he did this one. Damn. Eli Manning. Yeah. Eli Manning lost 2 or won 2. He never lost 1. Is he number 2 on Tony Romo's list of best quarterbacks? I doubt it, right?
Well, when you lose to Tony Romo, I think that disqualifies you.
Tony Romo, I like, they're talking about it, and that's why I think he's getting antsy, because isn't Tom Brady joining the booth next year? Wasn't that part of his deal?
Yeah.
He took a year off, and then he's going to be on Fox, which I can't wait. And I hope they throw him into some college games, too, with, like, Urban there. Because, like, sometimes Charles Woodson shows up on that pregame Fox show, and it always adds a little bit of excitement, but he's more of, like, one of their NFL guys. So it'd be cool if Tom Brady did the same thing, just to watch, like, Urban Sweat. Although, so I don't forget to bring this up, did you see that a Michigan State insider or booster, someone confirmed that they reached out to Urban Meyer?
So do we have to have the Urban rumors?
Yeah,
the Urban legends.
Yeah, it should be the Urban legends. Because it's like the groomers, right? So, like, yeah, someone was tracking his plane, and they were wondering if he was going to go into East Lansing before the Fox Noon or whatever they called. I don't even know where they were last week. But I thought, it's a match made in heaven. He hates Michigan. Check. Actually, I don't even know if he would hate Michigan. Like, I think he would coach Michigan if they asked. Like, Urban Meyer, where else is he going to go? He only has two options, really. Michigan State or Texas A&M. Right? Can we be honest about that?
I bet if he expressed an interest in Notre Dame, they would push Freeman out.
I don't think they would. I think they like Freeman, and he's getting them enough wins and, like, close enough, and he's still younger, that, like, they feel that he could be, like, maybe a Frank-type Frank Beamer, where he's just there for a long time, and they're consistently good. Plus, I don't think Notre Dame's going to make a change before the expanded playoff. Because the expanded playoff is an equalizer. That's why I brought it up a couple weeks ago when they talked about home field advantage. There's a good chance Notre Dame starts to get a home playoff game every year if they can keep manipulating their schedule. Like the ACC, there's a good chance that the ACC is going to get weaker, if like especially if Clemson and Florida State leave. And Notre Dame keeps their deal with them, and they just brought in like crappy Cal and Stanford teams, where I feel like Notre Dame has to just be looking its chops saying, like, we'll work in this conference. It'll be like the Big East in basketball for them, where they can come through, get their playoffs home game, and then maybe win a couple games in the playoffs. All they have to do is win one or two in the playoffs every year, and I think their alums will be happy. And if they, because they, like, right now, what works out for them is, like, they haven't won, unless I'm wrong, because recent years, they haven't won, like, a New York Six type game or BCS game since 1988 or something, like, around when they won their last national championship. So, any success in the postseason is a win for them. So, I just think that with Freeman, it has to be like Franklin right now at Penn State. Yeah. You keep losing to Penn State, or you keep losing to Ohio State, and most likely Michigan. But you're always ranked like right around top 10, which means you're going to be the third team in from the Big Ten. Now it is expanding, so that situation could change, and Penn State might need to make a move in a year or two. But right now, I don't think you can move on from them. Because, like, who knows if he rips off one or two playoff wins, he could be the last Big Ten team standing. And then maybe things change. All he needs is I thought they just needed a quarterback like Michigan, but now they're, like, choking him out like he's Wilton Spate. Not letting him throw, like, calling weird offensive plays to where they're struggling with Indiana. And that Indiana team was the one that Michigan killed by, like, 50, remember? Indiana scored first, and then it was over. So watching Penn State struggle with them really gave me hope, because I've been saying all year that I think it's going to be a three-way tie for the Big Ten East. And I had an update on that, too. Each team right now, Ohio State and Michigan's opponents have the same record. Nebraska keeps winning, which keeps Michigan in it. Wisconsin's Ohio State's team, and they keep losing. Like, they lose to Iowa with no offense, and Brian Ferentz about to get fired at the end of the year. How? Wisconsin. But I'll take it, because that means that Michigan could win the tiebreaker. But again, I don't know if Michigan's going to lose at Penn State. They seem to be fired up. We'll get into college in a little bit. I want to circle back around to some of the NFL other moves. Peoples Jones going to the Lions. It seems like a very Raiders move, where the Lions are like, we're finally winning. What do we need? More receivers? Awesome. Let's get it done. And it's like...
Hey, they have historically gone for receivers.
I know. It's like, why?
They had like 47 Williamses. They took all the Mike Williamses.
It's like a guy that's like going for one more crack hit. He's like, just one more.
They just get one more receiver, then they can't stop us.
Yeah, they just can't get us. Greatest show on turf. It's like they have... I wouldn't be surprised if I walked into the owner's booth and there was a book called Greatest Show on Turf, because don't they play on turf too? and it has like Isaac Bruce and those guys on the cover.
Yeah, Ford Field.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's his blueprint. And they're like, we just need more receivers here, and then we could be the greatest show on turf. And we could be winning it all. And people think that the Lions have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. It all comes down to quarterback play. There was a quarterback move. Your boy, Josh Dobbs, which you panicked and thought that was Jameis Winston. And I could see the mistake, Matt. Both guys moving teams a bunch. Inaccurate. Correct. Do they both have corrective surgery on their eyes? I don't know. But I thought that was funny. In like a matter of 2 minutes, you were panicked, and then you're like, oh, it's just Josh Dobbs.
Well, no, because I thought that move would A, hurt the Saints, and B, be probably really beneficial for the Vikings, who have typically been a snake-bitten franchise in the postseason, because Jameis Winston's specialty is just chucking it up there. And if there is a team of guys that have the athleticism to make it happen, it'd be Jefferson, Addison, and Hawkinson with Minnesota. So that would have been a pretty wild group of receivers.
Plus, they're still running based. And with Cousins' injury, that was like a non-contact. Is he done for the year for sure?
I believe so.
Because like they showed Aaron Rodgers working out. Like, but I thought Aaron Rodgers had like an Achilles or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's like trying to get back. And I'm like, buddy, it's only the end of October.
He's just proving that you don't even have to go to the doctors to...
He saw Zach Wilson coordinate that drive to get the game to overtime. And he thought, I can't wait around anymore. What if I don't get the job back? Then he has to follow the Favre path and go play for the Vikings next year. Right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been funny if they traded him to the Vikings. That would have been the best timeline. Cousins gets hurt and they're like, we'll give you Aaron Rodgers. He might come back. But Dobbs, I thought, was playing pretty good, surprisingly, for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't really getting a bunch of wins, but he's been pretty solid. So I don't know if the Vikings are going to see a huge drop off. The Packers have been playing so bad, and it's almost like I had a hint that it was coaching. I haven't really watched too closely these past couple weeks, but they ended up trading Rasul Douglas to the Bills, and it almost seems like Douglas has been such a key part of the defense. I know they extended my boy Rashawn Gary, but getting rid of Douglas kind of looked like they might be throwing in the towel and trying to start to do a rebuild. Now, does that include something where they get a new quarterback? I don't know. And I really wouldn't want Caleb Williams, if I'm being honest. Because, like, watching him just quit and, like, not care if they win is weird. Right? It's like that the USC team is so weird, and they're going to directly affect the college football playoff the rest of the year because of the matchups they have. But Caleb Williams doesn't seem to be trying. And it's not like a clowny, hey, I'm not going to try because I don't want to get injured. It's like, I just don't care attitude. And in a quarterback NFL, you can't have that. Like, I feel like he has bust all over him. And I don't even know if he's a consensus number one. The Leonard kid, I mean, he was on one leg and he was beating Florida State till he got hurt again. Like, to me, that's more gutsy than what I've seen from Caleb Williams. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think the Duke guy can come out this year, can he? Leonard?
I don't know.
Plus, he's playing for so many years, but I wouldn't take a number one on him. But like, if I were the Packers, I would just say, hey, if you're really not sure on Love, and I honestly don't think the play calling has been good for him, and they kind of let all their weapons go. So it is like a young team for the Packers, and they've had games where they could win. It's just like, it's almost like they're hamstringing the quarterback, and you can't really do that in the NFL. It's strange. Because like, even when going all the way back to like the Niners, when everyone's saying like, Alex Smith is a bust, he can't do this. When Harbaugh had him running like naked bootlegs and all kind of crazy things that like he wasn't able to do under the old coach. Everything opened up because it became unpredictable.
Yeah.
And then he grew into himself. And then when he got hurt, then of course Kaepernick comes in, he does all the same stuff. When Harbaugh leaves, everyone's like, well, you got to go back to not making mistakes. And then they play scared. And then that's what I feel like Love is doing right now. So getting rid of Douglas for like whatever that pick ended up being, it's not a big deal. But I don't even know if any of these other trades stand out. There are some other movements. Nothing major, unless you there were any that stood out to you.
I mean, the Cleveland trade to the Jags, he was a young lineman. And just given Trevor Lawrence and Etienne a little bit more stability, I thought was going to be a helpful thing for them.
I was surprised that Etienne, he caught the touchdown. And then the defender, like, caught up to him so fast, it was almost like he was running in slow motion. And almost tackled him before the end zone. I thought Etienne had speed. Unless he was just dogging it.
Before he got injured.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, is he done now? Because, like, at the running back position, I mean, he got separation off the line, but it almost looked like they were in a broken zone. Like, he didn't beat his guy one-on-one. It looked like he just found the sideline and like maybe a cover two. I can't remember what the play was. But then the guy caught up with him so fast. I was like, holy crap. It's like he's running in slow motion. It was like a tight end. You know, normally a tight end makes a big catch wide open and they immediately catch up to him. That's almost what it was like watching ETN do that. And that's nothing against tight ends. Like they're just not there, right? They had a big thing. I know you like talking about Taylor Swift, but she wasn't at the game, and then the Chiefs played like crap. Do you think that was the reason why?
Yeah. He just was distracted.
Because he kept looking up, and he thought that he has to go home alone.
Yeah, he's just like, where's my girl?
You think he was texting her on the sideline? Where you be? I don't see you.
I bet Andy Reid has a pretty staunch policy on cell phones on the sideline.
I don't know. I've seen those commercials with him drawing mustaches on people on the airplane.
he only draws mustaches after they win. Nobody got a mustache this week.
What a bummer for them right on Halloween, too. But yeah, so the NFL, man, the 49ers, it's like, what are you guys doing? They're like McCaffrey is like just muscling the ball all together, and I really think that he's messing up their offense because like they haven't really been spreading the ball around, and I really don't take them as serious as I did a couple weeks ago, right? And I know I hate that they're the team that's like always on now. Because it really annoys me. It's like, oh yeah, the 49ers, they're supposed to be it. They've lost three games in a row. Meanwhile, Pete Carroll, everyone's saying he's done. They're 5-2. They're in first in the division. They've won two. The NFC South is a mess. The Lions, like we talked about. And then, of course, it's still Philly. Like, I feel like it's going to be Philly. And then it depends on what Dallas team shows up. But I don't know. The 49ers have kind of started to tank. Maybe Deebo Samuel was that important, having that extra guy to help spread the field a little bit. But like, I have Kittle on fantasy, and he's been so boom or bust because they just don't include him in the offense anymore this year. And it's weird. And it's 100% coaching. They're just not spreading the ball around. It's like they're zeroed in on McCaffrey. And I'm thinking that it's going to hurt Purdy's development because, like, you have to spread the ball around. Like, I know he keeps zeroing in on Ayuk, too, and Debo's not there to kind of bail them out. So there have been times where he's, like, throwing across the field to McCaffrey. It's like, why are you doing that, buddy? Come on. So, young quarterback, I'm not, like, I'm selling the 49ers' chances of making a Super Bowl. I think they're going to be pretty much done. Maybe those guys come back. I don't care about the Chase Young deal. They're not even relying on their defense because of the way they're running the offense. They're like trying to do so many throws out of the backfield to McCaffrey that, like, yeah, I'm sure his fantasy production's through the roof, but you're not winning games because you're not stretching the field. And everyone's keying in on McCaffrey now, and that's your whole offense. So it's like they're lost. That's what stood out to me in the NFC this week. The AFC, the Jags have been on a tear. They've won 5 in a row. But I don't think I'm in on them too. Just like the Ravens, not sold on them. I don't even know what to think about the AFC North. Because like the Steelers with Pickett going down, how long's he out for? Do you know?
I don't know. Until he gets his hair cut.
You think that's what he needs?
Yeah, his hair's probably in his face and he can't see it downfield.
Well, the good thing with the AFC this year is like Miami's on top, Baltimore, Jacksonville. We're going to see some new teams. Like, I mean, the Ravens have been around for like a decade with Harbaugh there, but they haven't really been making it to deep in the playoffs. So maybe this is a year we see some other teams challenge Kansas City. I really want to see Miami go all the way. Just because they have like an exciting offense.
No. Go Buffalo.
Why? I always cheer for Buffalo. Like, I always like Buffalo.
Josh Allen is my quarterback in fantasy.
Buffalo has America's colors. They had some of America's greatest heroes, like O.J. Simpson, on their team at one point. So it wouldn't make sense, Matt, for them to never win a Super Bowl.
It's their time is now.
But
Diggs.
I think Allen is going to mess it up. He forces the ball too much. He's like Purdy, except he's like forcing it to Diggs.
As he should.
But I think they need to look at
how many more games do you think the Steelers would win if they just forced the ball to Pickens every play? Just throw it to him.
Do you think
Ryan Day is showing that you can win games by just throwing it to your best receiver over and over and over and over?
Yeah, but Ryan Day's always done that. He's always run that
over
that drag
and over
that drag route. I don't know why Penn State and them don't cover it. I get some teams don't have the horses, but
it's a kung fu pass play. No can defend.
I did have a question come up from a buddy of mine. Do you think Iowa has a chance to hire Matt Canada at the end of the year? I thought you'd find that funny, but that's the type of offensive coordinator our man Kirk Ferentz would hire, right?
You know, I'm willing to fall on the grenade. I'll go to Iowa.
You will? Did you put in your name?
I'll go in. They open up. I'll submit to it.
I have some bad news for you, buddy. You're not related to Kirk Ferentz. You're gonna have to submit a DNA test with your application, so he can kind of cross reference it against his, see if you're a good fit.
Well, he knows that I like to run the ball.
Are you averaging, what was their goal, 25 points a game this year?
I'm willing to sacrifice to go be under that.
Because like that's a game that like they beat Wisconsin like 15-9 or something, and like that's a game that's keeping Michigan in the tiebreaker. So could you put together 5 field goals or whatever that was?
I feel confident I can help keep us within field goal range.
Because like I don't even know if they scored a defensive touchdown. It's like at the point where, hey, what kind of offense are we running? But it would be a great redemption story. Everyone's hating on Pittsburgh. Oh, Matt Canada sucks. He goes to Iowa and they win the Big Ten.
Well, I think it's funny because remember when Canada was at Pitt and Narduzzi was like trying to keep him to stay as a coordinator?
Yeah. I liked him at Pitt.
And then he was just like, no, I'm going to LSU because they're going to pay me SEC money. And then immediately got canned. And then as soon as he got canned for that, it was like that he went to Maryland. And then he went somewhere else and just ended up ping-ponging around.
I know, he could have stayed at Pitt. Although, did you see Narduzzi's comments about his fires?
Yeah.
He used to have some good ones.
He apologized.
I used to have a lot of good players here. I don't anymore. Players are like, do you not think your team's going to listen? Like, what are you doing? You're going in. You're saying your piece, but it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't even know. Like, he should have said, like, I need to do a better job of coaching my guys to get them ready for the NFL, like I did have done in the past. Something like that, you know? Not like, I used to have good guys here. And you think you're going to have better guys, and you just don't have them. So this year sucks.
I thought that ranked up there with Deion Sanders' comments that he, like, brought in his own guys. He's like, I guess I just got to go back to the portal and find more linemen. They're not blocking for my son, and they stink, so I guess I'll just try it again.
Did you see his comments about the jewelry, though? He called out the NCAA.
I wish that he would just learn how to buy a safe. He got his jewelry and his boombox taken at Jackson State. He's got stuff taken in Colorado. He just doesn't know how to close the door or lock things up.
That was at the Rose Bowl. You would think they'd have security there, right?
I would think there would be security on top of security there.
Although
he's just leaving the door open, just be like, here, we thought it was free.
I've learned that all you have to do is wear a hat and sunglasses, Matt, and you can get into any game on the sideline.
Whether it's Michigan or Central Michigan.
Isn't McElwain still there? Your boy, the Shark?
The Shark.
He used to coach at Michigan, so maybe he gave him the hookup. He's like, here, throw on this disguise. And when he got there, he's like, you forgot your mustache. He's like, it's okay, I wore a wig.
Quick, put this polo on.
Well, that's what people were saying.
They
wore like
a Michigan shirt, but they're like, here, throw this C over it so they know it's you're with us.
Well, it looked like he was wearing like all the coaching gear. So it's weird. I don't think it's him. And for people that aren't following, because they're not psychos like me, I think it was Pete Thamel or Thamel. I don't even know how to say that guy's name. He's like working for Yahoo Sports. I don't even know who he was. But he's been doing the dirt on Michigan's program for stealing signs, right? So he puts out that the guy that's been under investigation, Connor Stallions, they think that he was on the sideline of Central Michigan. Now, the way they've been dropping it is kind of like a PR hit job where they've been dripping news. And the news that everyone's been waiting for, the rumors from the beginning is that back last year, Ryan Day said that Michigan has practice footage, right? Or like that's what they hinted at. Some of their insiders came out and said like Michigan somehow got our practice footage. Everyone thought it was the Weiss computer investigation, which the FBI said is not connected at all, right? So if Weiss didn't get it, I don't think that's true, right? Because I don't know how else Michigan would get their practice footage. Unless one of their coaches just gave it to us. But that is within the rules. Because in the rule book, the other team can give you footage. You can ask for it, and they're supposed to give you a reasonable amount of tape. Right? So if Michigan had practice footage because one of their coaches, I mean, they did hire some old Michigan coaches. So if one of our old guys turned around and gave us practice footage, that would be hilarious. And I would love it. Still our coach, but yet secretly he was still a Michigan man. And he's like, I have all this practice footage. You guys want it? Yeah, sure. I'm retiring. Because Greg Madison was there, right? He was Michigan's defensive coordinator for a long time. And then defensive line coach. And then Ohio State hired him as like D coordinator. I'm not saying that he's the one that could have done it. But as long as there's not a computer access crime like they've been alleging, if Michigan has practice footage, there's nothing the NCAA can do. That's the rumor that we're waiting to see come out. The second one that they hinted, this was about 2 weeks ago. It was before the Michigan State game, so I feel like the story came out 2 weeks ago. Immediately, they said that Michigan State was aware that he might have been on the sideline, or they didn't say the sideline. They said he might have been in the stadium when they played Central Michigan. And that's why they threatened not to play Michigan that week. They said that they were scared for their player safety. If Michigan knew their plays. Once the Big Ten, like, they let it sit for 24 hours, and then they were like, no, we're just kidding, we're going to play. We don't want to give up the home gate for that game, right? Have you seen their stands? It's completely empty. No one's going to see this Spartans team play. So they needed the revenue. They played Michigan. They got killed 49-0. That's what cracks me up, is if he went to the Michigan State game himself, I personally, if you're looking at the facts, I don't think there's any way that anyone in the Michigan coaching staff signed off on that trip, right? That's the only thing that he's done that's firmly against the rules, if it was him. I don't think it was him, because like I said, the guy in the photo has hair, and he looks different. He has glasses. Thamel was saying, like, he's putting in so many, like, crazy conspiracy theories out there that I'm thinking that, like, Ohio State's just feeding him noise. Because have you seen the other things that he's put out? He said that Ohio State, I mean, he could basically just say Ohio State. Ohio State had been calling Big Ten teams saying, hey, you guys need to be careful for Michigan ball boys. They're holding the balls up if you're going to pass the ball on the sideline. Did you see that story?
I mean, I've seen different things with it, but the thing that cracks me up is that, like, it's all like it comes out almost like the same way that they come out with, like, these Trump political things where it's like, this is the one that's going to nail him. This is the one. We have this scout with a jersey on for another team. He's definitely stealing signals. It's this deep conspiracy. But nothing's going to happen. Meanwhile, if, like, Florida State's knees is wrong, it's like they're getting wins taken away, and this and that, and everything else. Nonsense. They're still doing time for past judgments.
Well, see, that's why I'm thinking the longer this goes and they actually don't ever show proof, makes me think that nothing's going to happen. Because, first of all, filming the other game isn't allowed by any coaches, but it's a gray area. ESPN even admitted it in their article that technically no rules were broken, because he's not filming the game. He's paying other people to do it, which is in the rules. Like I said, you're allowed to pay for film from like a TV station or whatever. Now, it is a gray area, because it doesn't say that you're supposed to pay to, like, get footage of the sideline, right? Now, they do say that you're not allowed to illegally film during the game, which is what the Astros were doing, which is why this isn't as big as what the Astros, unless they have more damning evidence. I think they would have released it by now. Because, like I said, it's been 2 weeks. You don't, unless you're saving it up and going to release it during the Ohio State week. But at that point, it's, unless you're really afraid to play Michigan, because I sent you the article, Ryan Day last year asked the College Football Playoff Committee if you were allowed to send scouts to watch the other team in person, which is what Michigan had been pegged people to do, is what everyone's accusing them of, right? And the College Football Playoff Committee said, yeah, that's legal. So, like I had said last year, it was almost like he's been sitting on this, waiting for it. And then the College Football Committee said, yeah, that's legal. So last year he couldn't do anything about it. The only reason I think it came out this year is because they think they have him on the sideline of the Michigan State game. Now, if it turns out not to be him, then that's hilarious, and I don't think they're going to get sanctioned or anything. I don't think there's any investigation, because what he's done isn't illegal. He's paying other people. It's coming from his pocket. That's the one thing, too, that I talked about last week. It looks like he's trying to make a name for himself, because it turns out, based on what the Big Ten put out, teams have designated guys on their staff that their job is to steal signs. Michigan has one. Ohio State has one. And so they're aware of this. So, like, that in itself isn't even illegal. They've voted to put microphones in the headsets for years, and the coaches say that they don't want that because they want the gamesmanship of sign stealing, which is insane. So Michigan can point to that rule, and I think that's kind of what the Big Ten was saying. When everyone's thinking that, oh, Michigan's not going to be able to play any more Big Ten games this year, they're going to have to forfeit them. They're not going to do it because the coaches had a chance to vote for the headset. And it's the same reason where I've noticed that coaches that have coached in the pros or have like an NFL background, like Schiano or like even Deion Sanders, Nick Saban, Harbaugh, these guys, they're all for putting the headset in the helmet. The coaches that aren't are the college guys that are trying to do the no-huddle offense, knowing that it gives you an advantage over lesser teams because you don't have to huddle or you don't have the headset. If you have the headset, then you have to actually coach your quarterback up to making those reads. That's why Mike Leach, he famously said he doesn't even change his signs because he doesn't care. He's trusting his quarterback to make the right read, right? Ryan yeah. Day seems like he's scared shitless. Because every time he loses a game, he goes ahead and accuses the other team of cheating. Clemson, oh, they're stealing by signs. Which I did tell you, it's funny that everyone's been watching sign stealing. And both Dabo and Venables both lost this past week. Do you think they didn't steal signs because they're afraid the NCAA might look at them?
It's plausible.
Because, like, Kansas had a backup QB in there. And Oklahoma, we talked about on the show, had the best chance of making the playoff, right? As, like, the fourth, like, as the other conference. Like, they were ahead of Florida State if every team went undefeated. Now we don't have to worry about that because they lost to Kansas.
No one's just a helper.
Yeah, no one takes them serious now. But all joking aside, like, I don't think that Dabo and him getting calls from, like, Tyler from Spartansburg about his crappy record and how he lost to NC State and how Dabo got all defensive about it. Like, I don't think anything has to do with sign stealing, but like those coaches aren't speaking up because they don't, I don't think they care. Like, I think that it would be a lesser headache than having three guys calling signals and holding up signs. And I really don't see, because I keep hearing from people, oh, the Michigan thing's so bad, you can't just keep changing up your signs. Those people obviously haven't played sports because they already have two decoys on the sideline. All you have to do is change the play color every drive. Hey, look at the blue shirt this time. Okay, guys, got it. Oh, next time, look at the guy in the yellow shirt. Oh, okay, got it. It's like they can't wrap their head around that stealing the signs isn't giving you an advantage. They've made this guy into a superhero, right? Because like it worked out for him. I was gonna say about the last thing I had on my notes here is about his pay, which was the smoking gun that dropped last weekend, right? How he went from being an unpaid volunteer. How could he pay when he first got paid $15,000 for all these tickets? Easy. He's a Marine. I'm assuming he's getting some Marine money, right? How else would he be a volunteer for like 4 years unpaid? Now Michigan throws him $55,000 a year, right? Starting last year. If I'm him and I'm thinking, well, I was getting paid nothing and all I'm doing is like stealing signs, I'm going to take a little bit of my salary and I'm going to hire some dudes online and I'm going to build a better name for myself. Because he's paying out of pocket, right, on Venmo. That's how all the transactions went. That's why people are saying, like, where did he get the money? It's like, no, he's a paid coach now. He's getting paid. So, of course, he has the money now. He was volunteering. He was getting no money. The payment started right when he started to get paid. I'm assuming he's hedging his bets thinking, if I keep doing a good job, pretty soon I'm going to be making $1 million a year. $15,000 is nothing. It's basically like an investment, right? Into his own brand. And to be honest, it's worked. Every single school knows his name. And based on the information that Ohio State has leaked out, they're afraid of him. He's been so good at stealing their signs, according to them, right? That he's like a mythical beast, that they're seeing him on other sidelines, Matt. Like Ryan Day goes to sleep and sees this guy in his sleep. Am I wrong?
But you know what? It's like Matt Rhule said. It's an easy solution. Just put the speaker in the headset, and then you just go, hey, here's the next play. And then they don't have to steal signs because you just say it right into the helmet.
Yeah, and the coaches don't want that because they know they're shitty coaches. And they're, like, only taking advantage of the no huddle, hurry up. Like, Oregon's coach was, oh, he was slamming Michigan. It's like, yeah, Oregon's whole stick is that they run the ball super fast and they don't let team defense a substitute. And then teams have to fake injuries on defense. Wouldn't it just be better if they had, you know, and they actually coached up a quarterback? Then maybe they wouldn't have their annual choke game a year, right? They're like the Nebraska of losses where it's always, hey, Oregon's the best 3-loss team. It's like Nebraska's the best 9-loss team. It's like, great work, guys. Great, great analysis. They're really great at 3 losses or whatever. Like, Oregon's right up there. They're the highest 1-loss team, Matt, because they're the best 1-loss team this year. It's like, really? I'm kind of surprised because Texas beat Bama, and they only lost at a neutral field, and they're playing with the backup QB now. I would imagine Texas could probably beat Oregon if they're at full strength, but you never know because they run that high-tempo offense, Matt. Those Ducks. Got to watch out for them. So, I mean, it's a crazy thing. I've been following it. There are some other allegations that are just crazy. Ryan Day's brother supposedly opened a private investigation firm for football called Fourth and One. Did you see that part?
No.
So in August, I think it was like 2020, whenever Harbaugh said, so this all started because at the Big Ten media days, Harbaugh sent a picture of one of Ohio State's coaches on the field working with their players, which was illegal. Did the Big Ten do anything? No. What did Ryan Day say? He said, you worry about my team, I'll worry, or you worry about your team, I'll worry about my team. And then he said, I can't wait to hang 100 on you. Michigan hasn't lost since that comment. And then Harbaugh said that Ryan Day was born on third base and thinks he hit a triple or whatever. So that's what started the whole thing. But right after that, that's the next month is when his brother supposedly started a PI firm looking into high profile football investigations from like New Hampshire, wherever the hell. So it would be hilarious if that was true. I didn't really look into his brother because I really don't care, right? I'm only putting together the facts that people are putting out there, and these are the facts. Someone hired a firm, like I said last week, considering that all the evidence that the NCAA and the Big Ten put out were like from Ohio State games, it's pretty clear that Ohio State had a hand in it. There was a mysterious team warning other teams to be afraid of Michigan. Yeah, that was probably Ohio State. Because who else would it be? Even looking at the short list today, if Harbaugh goes to the pros next year, it's not going to be PJ Fleck. He's on the list to potentially replace Harbaugh. Why the hell would he be trash-talking Michigan, right? He's only been complimentary. He said that was the best team he's ever coached, and he said there's 20 dudes on that roster that are going to get drafted next year if they go pro. So, like, he's playing up. It's not going to be him. It's not going to be Schiano. He already said it wasn't him because he's like, I focus on my own team. Ryan Day is the only coach that came out and said, oh, the higher ups instructed me not to say anything. But Ohio State got ranked number one, like I predicted last week, because they had the 2 wins over Penn State and Notre Dame. I honestly think that puts them in position right now that there's a good chance that the college football playoff ranking, as it stands right now, they have the 4 teams that are going to be in the playoff. You heard it here first, right?
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
Because there's a chance that Michigan runs the table again like last year. Ohio State's already number one. They will fall to 4. Georgia will just bump to 1 if they win out. So I think the committee wants that Ohio State-Georgia rematch. If Michigan and Florida State both go undefeated, they're going to be 2-3. And that's going to be the playoff. Like, I think they have Ohio State number one right now, so that if they do lose a game, now if they lose to, like, I don't know who they have left, Rutgers this week maybe, like if they lose to someone like that, then I could see them dropping out. But I'm under the assumption that right now they've played most of their tough games.
If you lose to Rutgers, your ass better fall to like 17 or 18.
Hey, Rutgers is pretty good this year.
I don't give a flying shit. If you're in the top four and you lose to Rutgers, your ass doesn't get to be anywhere near the playoff contention. Kiss the light side of my ass.
Hey, Oklahoma's still hanging around, buddy. They just lost to Kansas.
And guess what? You know where they should have fell? The hell out of the top 25. Fight me. This is the bias that if Florida State loses to Pitt, where do you think their ranking's going to be? Do you think they go from 3 or 2 to 8? No, they're going to fall down to 24.
No, I'll tell you where they're going to fall.
35.
They will fall to 15 right behind LSU, Matt. They'll put a cap at it. They're like, they did beat LSU, but LSU is probably better than them. I think it's insane that people have Ole Miss ahead of Penn State. I mean, Penn State did look pretty crappy against Indiana, but like Ole Miss beat LSU and they got killed by Bama. Now, if A&M does anything, there's a chance A&M's not even bowl eligible. So then what? The one thing that hurts Florida State right now is that the ACC, it's not even that they're beating each other up. It's that they're just choking. Like, how the hell is any team losing to Georgia Tech, a team that lost by like 20 to Bowling Green?
But this is the secret to Georgia Tech. They win the even games.
Well, you know what? Georgia Tech winning has boosted Michigan's strength of record to like 9. Which is funny because everyone's saying how Michigan's schedule sucks. But because Michigan played like 2 teams or like a couple teams in the non-conference that are actually decent, their strength of record is like in the top 10 now. Thank you, Georgia Tech. Because if you lose to Georgia, or you beat Georgia Tech by like 20 and then Georgia Tech starts knocking off ranked teams, it's going to make your team look pretty decent. And Bowling Green, in their conference, I don't even know if they're still undefeated there. It's like such a weird thing. It's like, oh yeah, here we go, guys. No, they're 2-2. They're 4-4 overall. So like the fact that they just beat Georgia Tech and then Georgia Tech's beating other teams, it's like a head scratcher. Because that's the one that if Bowling Green was actually good, Liberty could have got a boost from them too. But Liberty's not even in the rankings right now. I don't know if they're in the... No, this is the college football rankings I'm looking at. Yeah, Liberty's not even in here. Either is James Madison, which is kind of weird. Like, do you really need USC in here? Like, they've been looking like crap. Backloading a bunch of SEC and Big 12 schools is kind of weird. But I get it. Things will kind of shake out after a bit.
But the last couple of years, Liberty's kind of been in this situation where they've been winning games and then they just randomly lose to someone they shouldn't. But I feel like they're in prime candidacy right now based off of these awesome Tuesday night games that we've got to watch this year. I feel like they're in a spot where they could potentially win out their games and they could pull a UCF. Just win out, and then you can raise a national championship banner.
Well, that's where James Madison's in the same boat. So I think we have James Madison, Liberty, Air Force, and then the 5, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Florida State, and Washington. Which Washington has looked like they've been playing like crap. That they put them at 5. And that's where I think that it's going to be a firm 5. I don't think they have a chance to jump Washington unless like one of these other teams lose and then they can back their way in. Like, I think the 5 is pretty much firmed up. I know Washington beat Oregon, but Washington has looked so bad that I wouldn't be surprised if they finish with 2 or 3 losses. They play USC this week at USC. USC hasn't looked good, but either has Washington's offense. So it's like a crappy offense versus a crappy defense. Who's going to win? We don't know. What's Caleb Williams going to do? Is he going to be pumped up to play or is he just going to be hanging out? Because then they still have to play Utah, which Utah blew their chances last week getting killed by Oregon. And so now you're like, okay, we can boost Oregon up a little bit, but they're going to have a rematch. Like, because right now, the teams that are still alive for the Pac-12 are Oregon, USC, and Washington, and then a bunch of 3-2 teams, because Oregon State got upset too. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if any of them beat each other up. So we'll see. Their schedule's just as messed up in November like the Big Ten. Where the Big Ten, things could flip. Penn State could beat Michigan, and Michigan could lose to Ohio State. And then that jumps all kind of rankings messed up. Ohio State just stays ranked number one until they meet Georgia in the national championship or something. It could very well happen. Because Georgia could probably jump Ohio State. But Georgia's schedule, I talked about Michigan's strength of record. That's not the case for Georgia. Georgia's record is like in the 60s or 70s right now. That's how bad it's been. Now, they do have Missouri this week, then Ole Miss and Tennessee, which is why I'm kind of suspicious about that Ole Miss ranking, because it's almost like they put them up just so that Georgia could knock them down and try to get a quality win, right? Because they know Michigan and Ohio State both have Penn State as a big win. So if Georgia doesn't get that Ole Miss win, I mean, I don't know who else is going to be up there. Missouri's going to probably fall unless Missouri beats them. But Missouri also has to play Tennessee again. And they could all beat each other up. I just don't know. Plus, Florida is such a crapshoot that that's going to be the team that beats Florida State. It's going to be the Gators last week, Matt.
Shut your mouth.
It's in the swamp. Florida plays Arkansas, then LSU, and then Missouri. And they're probably going to lose like two or three of those games. They'll be sitting there at like, what, 6-5. And then they'll come in and they'll knock Florida State off. And you'll be crying on the show. It'll be just like last year. Ohio State will sneak in the playoffs, and everyone will be like, oh, are you kidding me? Because if that happens, a one-loss Ohio State could be third, and then you could get a Michigan-Ohio State rematch in the first round. But the college football playoff has been avoiding that, which I think they would again. I think if all those teams knock each other off, they would probably put Michigan number one and Ohio State three to play Georgia in that rematch. I think they'd really want the Georgia-Ohio State rematch. Based on last year, right? Why would you not get that guaranteed in the first round if you could?
Yeah.
But that could just be me being paranoid. Having them rematch would just be annoying. But in the new 12 team playoff, we're going to see rematches again. Honestly, with the way Ohio State's been leaking information about Michigan, this is the first year I've been confident and Michigan having a chance to beat them, like, pretty good. The last couple of years has always been like, well, it's a crapshoot, good chance we lose. This year, it's like, you're really poking the bear, guys. You lost two times in a row. You have a new quarterback, and Michigan returned most of their guys. Why are you doing it? Like, what's wrong with you? Right? Unless Michigan has a guy get injured or something that could flip the game. It's like Michigan's returning almost all its guys from its Big Ten championship team. That's why they look so good. Why would you want to upset that and give them more motivation for you? Because like all the Ohio State guys are still leaking the information. No, like if it was Michigan State guys leaking it, then I would say like, oh, it could be an inside job. They did say that a lot of the information that Ohio State's been getting is from a coach that used to coach in Michigan that's like disgruntled. And I just don't know who that could be. Gaddis, maybe? He left to Miami. He did a poor job, got fired. He has a hand because he coaches at Maryland, right? So Michigan going down would benefit him. But like, why would you work with Ohio State on that? Right?
Maybe it was Pep Hamilton.
Could be. Did you see Jed Fish? He has his Arizona team rocking, man. And Connor Stallions had his name listed in one of his manifesto things. I think it was on his LinkedIn resume or something where it said he consulted directly with Jed Fish of Arizona. And everyone's like, oh, if Harbaugh goes to the NFL and they hire Fish, the shit's going to hit the fan. People will be enraged. if it's like, are you serious? He's in the manifesto. Because for people that don't know, that Stallions guy we were talking about that supposedly is like the greatest sign stealer of all time, he wrote a 500 to 600 page manifesto in Google Docs outlining his career path to one day becoming the Michigan head coach because he's like a super fan. And in terms of manifesto, that's pretty good, right? Some people don't even have the motivation to even like get out of bed, let alone maintain a manifesto that he's like, the report said that he's been updating it daily for years, Matt. That makes me think that it's a lone wolf, right? Because, like, I don't know why people are, like, doubting it. They're like, oh, no, Harbaugh's the mastermind. It's like, does Harbaugh have a 600-page manifesto? I doubt it. He seems to always be, like, off the wall. He's talking about corn this week, right? That's not the guy that has a 600-page manifesto on being the Michigan head coach. This other Marine guy?
Scared animals that he doesn't eat chicken.
All I'm saying is you should support the troops, Matt. This guy's a Marine. And I hope Michigan gets to keep him because everyone's afraid of him. I like to have coaches that are the best on our staff. And if this guy's the best, so much that everyone, even the media, is afraid of him, I hope we get to keep him. Right? Wouldn't you want the best guy? How many people do you think could name an analytics coach on any team? Probably like less than 1%, right? But everyone knows Michigan's analytics guy. Everyone knows him. You could go as him for Halloween, like you said. That might have been in the pre-show. But people, like I just don't get it. Like every other case, some school was putting like a comparison out of like cases because someone compared it to Bill Self at Kansas, where it's like Bill Self didn't even get a penalty though. Did they even have to give up wins? I don't even remember. Like nothing happened to them. So yeah, if
like nah.
Yeah, so like everyone's like, oh, this is just as bad as that. It's like, all right, well then give us the same punishment, buddy. Like you did nothing to kids, so I don't care. Like I really don't care. Like if that's what's gonna happen and you're gonna compare it to these other cases, but the cases that were all 1-to-1 comparisons, Matt, I think I brought a couple up last week. They were all like that coach that did the things get suspended like a game or two. One of them was even a coach got suspended for half a game for going to another sideline. So if it comes out that he was at the Central Michigan sideline because him and McElwain are friends or something, then he could get suspended for half a game. That's the precedent that has been set, which is like the only rule that has explicitly been broken. And we know Harbaugh is a habitual line stepper, right? He's always looking for like the gray area. I just don't think that he's going to be like, you know what will really give me an edge? If I have some crazy guy standing beside me on the sideline yelling, it's a pass. It's a run. Right? Cover Harrison. I mean, I could do it. I don't even have to study any tape. I could just be like, I could see James Franklin. Harrison's going to get the ball, buddy. Ah, shit, I missed that one. Next time, Harrison's going to get the ball, buddy. Oh, I was right. Nice. Like, you got it 9 times, man. How many times were you targeted? Like 16? You're going to have a pretty good hit rate if you're looking at the down and distance and you're like, it's a passing down, cover Harrison. James Franklin would be like, thanks, buddy. I don't even know. Do you think James Franklin would know my name if I was on the staff?
No.
He seems like the kind of coach that doesn't kind of know what's going on. He's like always like puffing people up. But he's like, remember he said that comment about being more interested in his coach's wives and how they looked? Penn State fans are like, that's a great quote. It's like, it's kind of weird, right? You don't know your coaches, but you know what their wives look like. He's like, damn, when your wife come back to practice?
He thought he's watching Braveheart and he could declare prima nocta.
That's how you become a coach at Penn State. James Franklin comes out to your house and you have to sit on the porch. But let's see. I hit everything. Dabo staying. Brian Ferentz getting fired pretty much. Trade deadline. I didn't really have my notes on the Michigan thing were like, The Michigan thing changes every time. Oh, I did have a random thing. I mentioned going to the youth football game, I think, in the pre-show. They had a DJ, Matt. And not only did this youth team, it was like a middle school, I think. I don't even know what it was. But they had two speakers that were light, like they were LED lights or something. So they would flash like green and red. Well, I don't know where the green came from. The school was red, so if it would have just been red, it would have been cool. But every time, like, there'd be a break, the DJ would just come out, and they would just be, like, bumping some stuff. And I thought, like, is this a new thing? You're coaching. Have you seen that around your league?
Not in our league, but I was at St. Francis over the weekend, and they definitely had a wide variety of music in between plays. I was like, this is kind of different. I don't know if they do it for all their games or if it was just special for homecoming, but it was nice. Kept me focused.
So you're saying you were into it? Or was it just so loud that it was overbearing you?
It wasn't overbearing at all. I liked it.
I'm hoping that Michigan pumps out like some Ace of Base. I saw the sign every time Purdue calls in a signal. Did you really get into their head? Because their coach is Illinois' defensive coordinator from last year, I think.
Sun everywhere, sun.
Because what did he say? He made a comment. He said, "When he's like, Michigan's defense is usually in a great position to make a play, but there's a few times that they're not." Like, and I'm like, is that a dig at like the stealing signs where they're stealing the signs most of the time? But maybe I'm just too crazy and I'm looking into things too deep. But if he's poking the bear, that's not a thing. They had like Michigan had a team like rally to stay focused, and a bunch of other former players from other teams were saying like, oh, every time you have that, the team's about to fall apart. And it's like, we'll see. Because like Harbaugh seems to think that the team is focused. And normally, coaches usually don't say that unless that is it. I mean, if there's going to be like something weird, you just get coach speak, right? Like, oh, we're doing our best to drown out the noise, you know? Not like, oh, the players are focused. Because like if the players are that focused, Purdue, I don't know what the line is, but I would probably hammer Michigan over the spread. The spread might be 33, though. That can't be right. Can it? I should look that up real quick. Did you see that Iowa and Northwestern have the lowest over-under of all time?
It's like 23, isn't it?
It's 20-something, but they said that it was a record. And I thought, Brian Ferentz, how embarrassing. Your team only has two losses, right? Aren't
they? And then I think, you have to bet the over, right?
No, that's just going to hurt yourself. Although people were like, Northwestern is really turning it around. And I'm like, are they? I'm really not sure on that. Oh, Wolverines are 31-point favorites. That's a lot for a Big Ten game. But Michigan's been dominating everybody, so maybe you do take that. The Iowa one, I just don't know, because you're looking at Northwestern, and I know that they had the coach thing, but honestly, watching a little bit of their game, they might be playing the best ball in the West. They're on a one-game winning streak. They beat Maryland, and everyone was saying Maryland was going to be a test for Michigan. How quickly people quit saying that. Rutgers is 6-2 right now. You made fun of them? Rutgers' only losses are to Michigan and Wisconsin. They play Ohio State at home this week. And then they have to go to Penn State. But Rutgers, I mean, they play Iowa and Maryland. If Rutgers beats Iowa, they could be an 8-win team. Like, not so different than, like, your Kentuckys or whatever from the SEC. Shiano could get them kicking. If they somehow jump Maryland, that's going to be the big thing. Like, if they can start beating Maryland consistently with Shiano there, they can always be hanging around. I don't know if they'll ever do enough to make the 12-team playoff. But again, the Big Ten East is no more. So if Rutgers gets a good draw, oh, that's the thing I wanted to talk about. The new ACC schedules. Florida State gets screwed, man. Aren't you pissed about that?
what rock have you been living under? Did you really think that they were going to do anything to give them the benefit of the doubt?
Clemson got the Ohio State treatment, where they only have to play their main rival. Ohio State gets to play Michigan, and then Clemson gets to play Florida State. But they also don't have any other rivals that they keep. Like, Clemson, even though NC State doesn't beat them enough, the Textile Bowl, or whatever they call it, is enough of a thorn in Clemson's side where when NC State beats them, they've beaten them like three or four times in the past decade, I think. And they're one of the only schools that were upsetting them for a while. So for them to lose that game, that would be like Michigan not having to play Michigan State, right? Like, that's kind of like an annoying game for them, whether they want to admit it or not. And instead, the ACC schools from North Carolina all worked out. Duke, North Carolina, and NC State all got to keep their rivalry games together for no reason. No one cares about NC State playing Duke. I would have rather seen NC State keep North Carolina and just Clemson. Maybe Wake Forest. I don't know if that's the one they kept, but I'm pretty sure they kept North Carolina and Duke and Wake Forest. I think North Carolina, NC State got like the Iowa treatment, where they're like, you get a rival and you get a rival. And it's like, okay, guys, let's calm down. Iowa's going to be in a great position going forward, because I hear their fans complaining, oh, wait till these other West teams join. It's like, you guys have protected rivals that you normally beat. Why are you complaining? North Carolina State is in a position where they have three rivals now that if they ever start to like focus on football, they should beat every year. North Carolina, Duke, and Wake Forest, they could easily beat them every year if they got their shit together. So that's a lucky move for them. Meanwhile, Florida State gets Miami and Clemson. Two tough rivals. It's basically the Michigan treatment. Oh, Michigan State and Ohio State. Great.
How long are they going to be in the ACC? So they're just like, oh, this is great. Like, I did see when they released it, it was like, look at how excited everyone is. They had, like, Syracuse, like, look at our upcoming schedule. And I think, like, I forget who the other schools were. It was like, three or four other schools were like, look at our nice graphic. And Florida State was like, just click the link to see what you see who we're playing next.
What did Miami got? Virginia Tech and Florida State, they kind of got it a little bit tougher too. Because I was thinking, like, I never think in history of like, oh, I remember those great Miami-Virginia Tech games. Maybe like for a two-year blip when they had Vic, right? But I would never think that that needed to be a protected rivalry game. Maybe Miami and like Boston College or something from back in the Big East days. But
here's your fun fact. Did you know South Carolina has more ACC championships than Miami?
Yes, I do. Don't they have one?
Yes.
You're gonna laugh at that, but when Florida State joins the SEC, man, you're gonna have facts like that thrown at you. Unless they join the Big Ten, then you also have facts like that thrown at you. But you don't have to worry, because like Rutgers and none of them, they haven't won it yet. Nebraska hasn't even. They get them now. That's why it's funny. Like, all these teams are signing up to join the SEC. No Big 12 team has ever won the SEC that I know of, right? No, yep. No team that joined, other than Penn State joining the Big Ten, no other newcomer has won the Big Ten. So you're bringing in a bunch of other schools that could potentially win it. But realistically, you have to get through Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan still to win it. And Ohio State and Michigan right now are firing on all cylinders. I mean, last year Ohio State was better, probably with C.J. Stroud, if we're being honest. But they still have top talent, and they can grind out wins. Like, look at what happened with Notre Dame. That's why I think Notre Dame, if something happens and they join this weird ACC, because like I've been saying, I could see Clemson and Florida State leaving, and then Notre Dame's like, oh, I guess we'll join now. And then they're like, oh, what a surprise. We just ripped off five straight ACC champs. And they're like the new Florida State, right? Because remember the Florida State in the 90s were there, win it every year. And then they were like, everyone was chanting about how the ACC was tough, and it was really just Florida State carrying the bag. Notre Dame's probably just waiting for that. They're like, we could join the Big Ten with all our other rivals, but that seems like a pretty hard schedule. Have you seen the schedules? They seem pretty tough. Michigan has to play like 5 ranked teams next year in the Big Ten alone. So, like, is that what you want to do in Notre Dame? Nah. We can go to the ACC. We can play like SMU and Cal protected because they're like, it's for travel. But in reality, they're like, no one cares about these games. So we're going to do Cal and Stanford and SMU. You guys are all rivals forever. Awesome. Will fans show up? I don't know. We will see. But that's my beef on it. Pitt kind of got into like their old Big East rivals. It's like, it worked out for Pitt. It worked out for NC State. It worked out for Clemson. I know Clemson's better off not having rivals booked in because their rivals would probably be tougher anyway. So those are the teams I think that won the ACC schedule. Now, if it holds, I don't know. They kind of just took the Big Ten's idea and they're like, that idea is pretty crappy. Let's just use their idea. Great. But at least there's some consistency now. All they need to do is go to that 9-game schedule, which I don't know if they're doing that yet or not. They have so many teams, they should, but I didn't count the games. Anything else you want to hit on?
No, I don't want to jinx anything.
What are you jinxing? Florida State.
I will be there.
You going Saturday. To the Pitt game?
I'm going.
Hey, was the last time you saw Pitt with me, the national championship team?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a curse, man. You're cursed now.
So you don't bring that juju on me.
Well, you have to get super hammered, and you have to start being obscene. Didn't you have your Florida State thing? Were we in the student section together? I don't even remember where you sat. Because Pitt, for a time, I could use my Michigan ID and get in the student section because they took any student ID. This is like years. This is about when Jameis played, right? So yeah. I'm like, this is insane. They're giving me free hamburgers. I mean, in Michigan, we got free Domino's pizza. So this is a different type of thing. Free hot dogs and hamburgers they were grilling for us. They had that cooler of beers. We're right on the riverfront. I'm like, this is cool stuff. And then Florida State went out there and hammered Pitt, and it was like, why am I watching this? But we did get to see a national champion right there, Jameis Winston. He couldn't even see. He was squinting so hard in those lights. I was amazed he was even finding the receivers, Matt.
Couldn't miss a pass.
Yeah, wasn't he like, what was he, 22 of like whatever, 23 or something?
Yeah, like that? It was like 20, it was like 21 of 22.
Yeah, he was like, he only missed like one pass, I think, that entire game. But you know what's funny? Pitt has a more recent ACC championship, Matt.
It does. Time to change it.
I have the timeline. I have a crystal ball right here. Louisville will beat Florida State for the ACC champ. And then they will lose to Michigan in the national championship. Michigan will have it taken away by the NCAA, just like we did in basketball against them. It'll be the reverse that's going to happen, almost 10 years to the day. Write that down. Although I would go for it, right?
I don't know if the universe is ready for a Michigan-Florida State national championship game.
It's not going to be us. It could be Louisville, baby. They're going to be the ACC contender. What are you talking about? Louisville's winning out. They have Virginia Tech, Virginia, Miami, Kentucky. Easily winnable. They'll be ranked like 6. They'll knock Florida State off. They'll get into the playoff at 4. They'll knock off Georgia, then they'll play Michigan for the Natty, and Michigan can exercise all their demons from the basketball national championship we should have won. It'll be perfect. Unless, keep an eye on it, if Michigan starts to get weird penalty calls against them, then you know that the Big Ten is going to be trying to push Michigan to lose. That's what we need to keep an eye out on. Make sure they're not screwing us out of wins. Maybe Harbaugh will sign his extension. They're supposed to be getting that done.
They took it back.
Now, that was just misreporting. That's what I'm saying. The story's insane. They keep doing all these clickbait headlines, but they didn't rescind it. It was on pause as they talked to the NCAA. The NCAA is still talking to them, now they decided that they're going to go forward with it, I think, this week, as soon as either this week or next week. So that makes me think that the NCAA is not going to do anything. They already talked to them. And if they're going to extend Harbaugh, then they have to know that it was probably either, like I said, a lone staffer, or the penalties aren't going to be that bad. But I don't think you let Harbaugh walk. And I'm hoping that everyone's telling him, like, Ohio State really is doing this to you because they hate you, and that it motivates him to stay at Michigan forever now. Because that's what Ohio State doesn't want. They're trying to push him to the pros. Although one of the rumors said that the NFL agreed that if Harbaugh is suspended, that that suspension will carry to the NFL. But I can't see that happening, right? Would they even do that? They let Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll go.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that.
The case, and this is another Ohio State thing, they're the ones leaking all of it, so that's why it doesn't make a lot of sense. But they said that it would be just like Terrell Pryor, because he had to serve his suspension in the NFL. And I'm like, Harbaugh's suspension would be a little bit different because it's all hearsay right now and craziness. Because I brought up the ball boy earlier. I forgot to finish that tidbit. They said the ball boys were tipping it off, much like Auburn's ball boy admitted to doing in like 2003. So it's like they found in a ball boy story, and they said, you know what? Michigan has to be doing it. We don't know how they're beating us. They must be having a ball boy tip them off. And so they called all the Big Ten schools and let them know. Isn't that insane?
Doesn't surprise me.
It'd be like you're in your neighborhood, you're the neighborhood watch, and you're just like, hey, I got to call my neighbors, let them know that someone might be watching them from their windows, but secretly it's you doing it. Throw them off the scent. But that's all I have. You have anything else this week?
No, just keep an eye out and watch that 3:30 Florida State game so that they continue to outpace the rest of the conference in viewership, pad their resume for moving on to a bigger and better conference.
Well, don't worry if you're busy during the day. You can always watch Michigan in prime time on NBC take on Purdue. I don't know why they picked it, but they did, baby.
Go Boilermakers.
Hopefully it's over by the first quarter. Like the Minnesota game where we intercepted the pass right away. And I'm like, this game's over. That's what I'm hoping for. But thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.